There are going to be many times in life when you will be challenged on what you do and why you do it. Meaning why the way you act is the right way to act and where people will come up to you. And sometimes people will simply make fools out of you when you don't have the proper answer to legitimize why you're doing what you're doing. They're going to ask legitimate questions, simple questions, like why does a person do Kiddush Levana? That's a simple question. And if you say that I just like dancing around when the moon comes out, it's clearly not the right answer to be able to say and not the way that a person is supposed to go. And Ali Shur, in his piece on Torah Chaim, Reb Bowlby says that, well, he asks the question, he says, why does a person daven? Why does a person do mitzvot? Why does a person go ahead and learn? Some people are going to answer, and this is the answer you'll hear from many people, it's because that's the way I was raised. I was born this way. This is the way that I was taught that I was machanek myself. My parents told me this is what I'm supposed to do. So I continue doing it. It's something that I can't get rid of, almost. As if it's something that's just part of my system. But it's clearly not the right thing to do, and that's not the right system. So there are other answers Reb Bowlby gives, which he rejects and says, it's not for this, it's not for that, because I need to, because I want to. Those are not the right answers. And he ends off with, because this is something I must do. I can't live without it. If I don't do this, it's going to be terrible for me. That's the way a person has to do everything. When it comes to davening in the morning, there are going to be mornings when you're not into it. You're just not into it. I don't want to be there. When it comes to learning a full morning Seder or a second Seder, there are going to be times where it's just, you're just not feeling it. I'm not feeling that connection. I don't know if I can make that connection right now, and I don't know if I want to be there. But if you feel like you have to do it, you have to do it, for no other rationale, no other reason that you can think of other than, I have to. What do you mean? I have to. If you have to do it, then you'll do it. There's no way that a person can get himself out of something that he has to do. I have no choice but doing. So Reb Bowlby speaks about that, and that's the idea. Now, although that's not something you can tell somebody else, but nonetheless, if a person puts that into their system and says to themselves, this is what I need to do, not because it makes me feel good, not because I like doing it, not because it makes sense to me, although those things might be true as well, but rather, this is what I have to do, well, that makes things a little bit different. It's a chiyuv, almost. You're making it as yischaivus upon yourself, to allow yourself to do something. So Rabbi Gaffin was telling me yesterday at breakfast, an interesting little call, I think I was complaining about something, I don't know what I was complaining about, but the Adar on the juice, it was something, and Rabbi Gaffin told me, simply put, that a good gauge on where a person is holding, where a person who's not doing so well with everything that he does, you know, he's not so into his davening and not so into his learning or whatever, but a good gauge of what motivates a person is what's going on with Megillah during the day, on the day of Megillah. I tried extending that to Parsha Zachar, because there are people who are not doing so well, and, you know, Parsha Zachar is hard for them. Amalek, destroying Amalek, why is it any different from Arabs trying to kill us? There are people who are like that, but it's almost like part of you, like you're chayiv to hear Parsha Zachar. And every woman does everything they can to get out there and try to hear Parsha Zachar. It's already something that people know. And Megillah as well. Megillah Esther, it's almost, yes, I was born this way, but it became sort of part of me. I can't miss Megillah Esther. What, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Of course I'm going to hear Megillah Esther twice a day, right? Twice on the day of Purim. Night and day. That's obvious, right? But there are some people who don't feel that way. They feel that, they're willing to do the other mitzvahs, Matanah Sovyonim, Mishloach Manos, so go to the Megillah reading at night. But the Megillah reading during the day, there are people who are just, it's not for them. They're just not feeling it as much. Because they don't find that he's chayavus. It's a good way of gauging a person. Where's he holding? And he was speaking in reference to some of the high school kids here. The unmotivated high school students who sort of just breeze through a yeshiva career, right? And through that, what difference does it make if they don't get up to hear the Megillah? It's not a deal, right? So it's not like you're chayav mitzvah for not doing it. It's just part of our system. So do I want to or do I not? Whatever it is, it's sort of like it's put in there. So let me tell you about something that happened that I read about on Sunday. And maybe that will lead into that idea that I was just saying based on Reb Bowlby. Michael Savage is a talk show host who is a very, very Republican, but not even Republican, extremely conservative talk show host who has very definite opinions on everything and anything in life. And whatever you want to argue on, he will argue you back, even if he knows you're right. Right? He will argue back as long as he's not taking the liberal stance. He is totally against any liberal or any Democrat or anything like that. This man is an angry, angry, angry man. His real name is not Michael Savage. It's something really more Jewish sounding. And he seemingly is a Jew. I don't know about his mom. But seemingly he's a Jew. So there are a lot of people that listen to his show that are Orthodox Jews. So on Thursday, he got a phone call from an Orthodox Jew. And of course, I got this from somebody who led me to Matzav.com. And this Orthodox caller who called up started off the conversation by saying, I just wanted to wish you a happy Purim, right? And I hope everything's going well. And he got so angry. You could hear it in the beginning. He's like, stop with the garbage, the personal garbage between me and you. I don't know you. I don't know you from a hole in the wall. You don't have to tell me, have a happy Purim. I said, no, I didn't, you know, because it's Purim, so a lot of Orthodox Jews are not listening to you today because they're celebrating Purim. But I'd like to invite you for Shabbos. And he's like, stop with the personal stuff. I don't need to hear that from you. I don't know you. I don't want to go to you for Shabbos. He already started off on the wrong foot. And then Dr. Savage goes off. You just wished me a Chag Sameach for Purim. I don't know if it was an actual Chag Sameach. I guess it was a bit of a kasha. Wish me a Chag Sameach. He asked him, why would you be so stupid to celebrate a holiday that commemorates King Haman? I'm saying that was sick. That's what he called it. Although we know not a king. It would be King Ahasuerus, and Haman is really Haman. I know it's a shocker to most people. Why would we celebrate such a holiday, said Dr. Savage, that celebrates a King Haman that was destroyed 1,000 years ago? I realize it's 2,400 years ago, but a person that was destroyed 2,400 years ago. We have our own Haman in the White House right now. We have our own Haman that are taking care of our people in Israel right now. So why are we celebrating a Haman that goes down 2,400 years ago when we have Hamans right now? We should deal with the Hamans right here. See, this is what I don't like about Orthodox Jews, says Dr. Savage. What I don't like about them is that they live in the past. Everything is about the past. But they're doing nothing for themselves now. They got freed from Egypt in slavery, so they celebrate that. That was 3,000, 3,500 years ago. They go out and they celebrate the fact that they received something. That was 3,300 to 3,400 years ago. They celebrate the fact that a guy died. An Amaleki guy died. And they hung him on a tree. They hung him on a tree. That was 2,000, 2,400 years ago. So he said to the guy, he's like, why would you get drunk and eat candy and hold hands and dance around in a circle all day long for a king who has been gone forever anyway when the same issues exist today? What are you doing? So he's saying to the guy, what are you celebrating? It's Purim. What's the point of it? Brilliant, right? And the guy didn't have an answer. Because I'm not judgmental, I don't know who this guy is. Right, he invited me for Shabbos also, I'm just saying, but I don't really know him well. But I don't know him, but he was just shocked. Shocked. Somebody caught him right there and said to him, why do you celebrate Purim the way you do? If you drink on Purim, why did you drink on Purim? I don't drink all year long. I drink twice a year, on Pesach and on Purim. Why did I just drink on Purim? Why did I jump up on a chair and sing Misha Nichmas Avir? What was the point of that? Well, why? Why are we doing this? See, you should have an answer in your head. But the sad thing is, there are many, many Jews who don't have an answer in their head. And they can't answer the question. You ask them why they're celebrating Purim? Because of Haman, 2,400 years ago. Why are you celebrating one guy that died 2,400 years ago? Well, we almost died. But you didn't. You didn't. You didn't. For 3 days, there was an edict out on the Jews. 3 days. And the edict was for 11 months from then. He didn't die. There was really not really that big of a chance they were going to die. They had 11 months to hide. 11 months for the people to defend, you know, find weapons and be able to take care of those. 11 months to build a bunker where you can sit down. And they're only going to kill us for one day. So why are you celebrating Purim? What in the world is the point? So I'm glad that Dr. Savage went crazy on this guy. I'm glad that Matzav.com put this up on their on the website for people to listen to of how Dr. Savage went off on this guy, because it got me to think, and I said, what would I answer? What's my 20-second elevator pitch? Now, what do I mean by that elevator pitch? Well, I'll explain. You should have an elevator pitch about everything you do. An elevator pitch means if you're stuck in an elevator with the CEO of a massive company and you want to explain your product and what you have to that guy, you have about 20 to 30 seconds to give it to him before he gets off that elevator. So what are you going to say to that guy? Person comes up to you and says, why are you wearing a kippah? Right? You like the look? Is that what it is? So you have to explain in 20 seconds, why do you wear a kippah? The shorter the better. Because people's attention spans, I know, I see your attention spans. People's attention spans are not what they were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So you have about 10 seconds to explain a kippah. You have 15 seconds to be able to explain sittas. Why in the world are you wearing strings outside of your pants? What is going on with your strings outside of your pants? So those are easy ones. Those are the easy ones. Why do I wear a kippah? Because I want to constantly remind myself as an Orthodox Jew that there is a God above me. That's good. That's easy. That's a quick one. Why do I wear tzitzis? I need a constant reminder that my job in this world is to keep 613 mitzvos, and these strings have a way of representing those 613 mitzvos. That's it. That's all it is. If he wants to know a little bit more, then he can go on to your rabbi accolades. It's just like, oh, let me tell you, because this is the gematria. Then he can go on. But you have 20 seconds. You have 15 seconds to explain to yourself, what are you going to do? Why do you keep Shabbos? What's the point of Shabbos? So again, these are easy ones. Purim is not so easy. Purim is not so easy. Because he's really asking, why in the world are those Jews getting themselves so drunk at the age of 16 that they're getting themselves into hospitals? What is going on that everybody is giving out a ton of money on Purim to a bunch of guys while they're sitting there drunk writing out checks, writing through? I deposited a couple checks that some guys collected from my organization on just yesterday. I went to go deposit them. Half of them were illegible. Absolutely illegible. One of them had a massive X. Just a massive X. I know that normally means that the check is not to be used. Well, I decided it was going to be used anyway. A massive X on the side. I think he meant that it was X over 100. You know, to say that there's no change. I think that's what he meant. I hope. I'll find out soon if he rejects the check. I have absolutely no idea. Well, what in the world is going on? See, Perm is not an easy one. So I was thinking to myself, there's no question. He was funny because listening to the thing, and I made Manny Shapiro listen to it also. So listening to the thing, right, you hear in his soliloquy how he made a couple mistakes, a couple obvious mistakes that are there. But the honest truth is, I am ready to answer it now. I called up. The first thing I did is I thought to myself what I would say if somebody came up to me. I came up with my 20-second pitch, what Purim is all about. But I wanted to hear what my Rebbe had to say. I wanted to hear how my Rebbe would answer this question. So I called Rabbi Zevko, and I asked him, how would you answer this question? How would you answer this question? I told him the whole story, the backstory behind it. I asked, what would you say? So he answered me simply. The past is the present and it doesn't change. We're celebrating the present as well as the future within the context of our past. Where Hashem is able to show himself through the natural world and show that he still exists when we need him most, even through the sorrows and the troubles of everyday life in Olam Hazeh. So it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing himself through the pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing himself to be there when everything is happening. But the past is the present. It keeps happening over and over and over again. One way of understanding this is through Haman being destroyed. But it happens all the time. We see this all the time and it's all there. This idea is still there. So Purim, in his words, and I'm using my words to explain his, Purim is not about Haman. It's not about Ahasuerus. It's not about Mordecai, and it's not about Esther. It's not about any of them. It's not them that's really important. They happen to be involved. It's about Hashem peering through the lattices, making himself appear. I'm using the words Meitzit Mina Harakim, which is used in Shir HaShirim. Peering through the lattices, allowing himself to be seen, our ability to perceive God on the other side of the fence. That's what Purim is about. We're a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there, right behind the scenes. And we don't realize it until the very end. That's what Purim's all about. So if you say that Purim is all about celebrating a Haman, no! It's celebrating that this is the first time we had a miracle where God didn't come down and create Kriyas Yamsuf. Or to make something crazy happen in order for us to see him. We see him in the craziest of situations. In the situations where he seemingly is not around. That's what Purim is all about. don't know how to explain that to Dr. Savage if I have my 15 seconds together with him. And I say, I remember, I heard you talking on a radio not too long ago, and I heard you ask why we celebrate Purim the way we do. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand that God is involved in our everyday lives. Purim is the story of how God is involved in every aspect of my life. That's it. Wait, so why does that allow you to get drunk? Well, getting drunk helps me see certain things that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. Why does that allow you to get plastered until you fall on the floor? You're right, I don't do that. I don't wallow in my own filth like a pig. I don't get that drunk. I drink just enough so that my mind is able to perceive things that it wouldn't have perceived before. That's the idea of it. But that's already, once we get into the questioning form, the 15-second speech is already done. That's already done. I've got my 15 seconds and I'm done with that. I want to take that idea and I want to add on something a little bit more that I was thinking about in Purim, but I wasn't sure I had worded it correctly, but now I think I have it worded correctly. Everybody knows the idea. You're supposed to get drunk, ad delo yada, bain, baruch mordechai, baruch haman. Baruch haman and baruch mordechai, you can't tell the difference between the two. So basically, you got to get so drunk that you're going to say Arur Mordechai and Baruch Haman. Why would Chazal want you to say that out loud? What in the world does that mean? Well, what does that mean? Does Chazal really want you to mess up? Chazal really want you to get so drunk that you're together? And that's number one. Number two, has anybody ever gotten to that point where somebody's going around, I hate Mordechai? Is anybody doing that? Nobody's doing that. Nobody's getting out and saying, I love Haman, he's so cool. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's getting that drunk. And even if you are that drunk, you're not able to speak at that point. Nobody would be able to understand you even if you were saying it. You're sitting in a little pool of your own filth on the ground, right? And you're wallowing or walking or you're going around, you're going, you're like, I hate Mordechai. That's the point. What does that mean? What does that mean? There is no way that that's what Chazal wants from it. So the pshat is, and the idea behind it is, when people get drunk, you get to see who they really are. What they really are, and what they really mean, and what they're like. Are they upstanding citizens who sometimes give in to their temptations and do something that's wrong? But the ikker behind the person is, this guy is a good person. Just once in a while, he does something wrong. So when they're drunk, it comes out how good of a person they are. Where they cry about things they haven't done. Where they want to learn a little bit more. Where they sit by the Rebbe and they beg, teach me a little bit more. Is that what they are? Or are they just mushchatim, put on a show all year long and pretend to be a Talmud Chacham? They wear the garb, they put on the jacket and the tie and the hat, and they put it out there, but deep down inside, they've got nothing. They've got absolutely nothing. So when Purim comes along, there is no Torah by these guys. There is no way this guy is benching. This guy doesn't even want to bench. This guy's not making brachos. This guy's not doing anything. What kind of a person is he? When a person drinks, you can see what's on the inside out. That's the ability to be able to go through. Do they do mitzvos their whole lives because that's how their parents raised them? And at the one point where the chinuch no longer comes into vogue, where it's not in play, then all of a sudden they go off. Or are they doing mitzvos because they really feel that's what their life is all about? And therefore they feel the chiyuv. So even when they're drunk, they're begging to do their chiyuv. They really want to do what they're supposed to do. You know what the pshat is? The chiyuv is to forget the Purim story ever happened. Forget it. Forget about Mordechai. Forget about Haman. Forget about Ahasuerus. Forget about Vashti. Forget about Esther. Forget it. Forget all that. To realize that the Purim story is not about them. It's about our lives and us. It's about us in our present state and where a Kadosh Baruch Hu is by us. That's the story in which we see that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with them. That's true. But the whole point of the drinking is to see that this is true by us as well. That I could be a Mordechai or I could be Amon. I could be an Esther or I could be a Vashti. I could be Ahasuerus or I could be Harbona. Who wants to be Harbona? That's it. That's what it's all about. It's amazing. The only thing you know, the only thing you should come out with after that drinking is that the story doesn't matter between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. The story doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's not about Haman dying, King Haman dying 2400 years ago. It's about us now. What am I going to do about President Obama in the White House? The truth is, I'm going to do nothing. about President Obama in the White House, the Haman that's in the White House. You know what I'm going to do? See, Michael Savage thinks that we live in the past and we don't care about what's happening in the world around us. Dr. Savage, we are living in the real world that we can perceive behind the fake world that you're looking at. We don't care about a President Obama, or even a Kim Jong-un, or Boko Haram, or jihad terrorists. We don't live our lives in fear of what might be or what could be. How are we going to be able to survive? Let me go on a talk show host and talk about it. That will change the world. That's not what we do. We live our lives doing what we were told to do. Doing what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to do. To make that connection with them. To learn, daven, do what we were told. This is what we should do. And succeed in improving the world in our way. The way we were told to. By following God's word. We have a plan. That plan has not fully come into fruition yet. But it's a plan. And the plan is still going. And we don't know when it's going to end, but it's there. And we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep working on it. And I feel that that's the real answer to Dr. Savage's question. I will take other answers, though. That's my answer. That's my